The result of the federal election held in Australia this past weekend was one that delighted the country's bookmakers, except the one betting firm that regarded the thing as such a foregone conclusion that they paid out on a victory by the opposition Labor Party before a vote was counted.
I have always believed in miracles. And tonight we've been delivered another one.
Not for the first time in recent memory, the electorate of a Western democracy declined to do as pundits and pollsters had confidently predicted. Australia returned to office the Conservative Liberal National Party coalition led by incumbent Prime Minister Scott Morrison, despite more than 3 years of polling showing a consistent lead for the Labor Party led by Bill Shorten.
I know that you're all hurting, and I am too. And without wanting to hold out any false hope, it is obvious that Labor will not be able to form the next government.
It is perhaps tempting, therefore, to cast Morrison's unlikely victory as yet another populist tantrum thrown by the spoilt people of a wealthy and orderly nation, comparable with the Brexit vote of 2016, the election of Donald Trump the same year, and the handing of the reins of power in several European countries and regions to assorted varieties of cowboy. But this is not that. The result of the 2019 Australian federal election is instead something of a political paradox, being both surprising and predictable. It is surprising in as much as nobody expected it, at least not this time, but predictable in the sense that it is the 19th occasion since the end of World War II on which Australia has elected the Liberal Party and its Conservative coalition partners. Far from being another furious, incoherent tipping over of the tables, this may have been a rare vote for steady as she goes business as usual. Looked at like that, when contemplating the global context, it might even be vaguely reassuring. Which brings us to the question of what kind of Prime Minister Scott Morrison will be, not before Saturday, a question that many thought even worth asking. Morrison became Prime Minister in a party room coup only last August, and it was widely suspected that he was destined to be remembered, if at all, only by the setters of pub quizzes, seeking to start arguments among competing teams over the identity of Australia's 25th longest-serving Prime Minister. Instead, Morrison finds himself with a full 3-year term ahead of him, and every chance of being the first Australian Prime Minister to complete one for more than a decade. This is not just due to the against-the-odds victory Morrison won at the weekend, but the manner of it. Morrison, whose pre-politics background was in marketing, substantially sidelined the rest of his front bench and made the election all about him, hoping that his slightly laboured persona of an awkward, earnest, suburban dad would connect.
I've learned a few things about the Prime Minister over the last couple of days. I've worked out, particularly on this visit, but we've both chosen well in terms of Mrs. Bainimarama and Jen, you and I, maybe punching a bit above our weight, but nevertheless.
That the tactic worked is self-evident, but Morrison will not necessarily find the going easy from here. Though his win on Saturday was remarkable, it was also close, and on a few key issues, Morrison is comfortably in a minority among his fellow Australians. He is a Pentecostal Christian and an instinctive social conservative, not a common outlook in a largely secular and increasingly small L liberal country. And Morrison is, if not an outright climate change skeptic, then a climate change equivocator, who now finds himself leading a people who consistently list the environment among their most pressing concerns. This seems to have been one of the reasons, though the list of possibilities on this front is not short, why the voters of Warringah, a hitherto solid Liberal seat on the proverbially prosperous North Shore of Sydney, dumped their long-serving MP and former Liberal Prime Minister and big weirdo, Tony Abbott.
And I can't say that it doesn't hurt to lose, but I decided I'd rather be a loser than a quitter. Yeah.
A perhaps more interesting question than how the Liberal Party and Scott Morrison won this election is the one asking how the Labour Party and Bill Shorten lost the supposedly unlosable. There may have been an answer in the notably bipartisan national mourning prompted by the death, a couple of days before polls opened, of Bob Hawke, one of Shorten's predecessors as leader of the Labour Party and Prime Minister of Australia from 1983 to 1991.
This government, Mr. Speaker, has the resources, the talent and the skill to emerge from this traumatic process better and stronger and even more prepared to put the interests of the ordinary Australian to this country first.
Bob Hawke was by any measure a substantial Prime Minister, but he was also a supreme political communicator who understood that a country needs to see something in a potential leader of what it is or what it wishes to become. In Australia, the Liberal Party traditionally offers the status quo, Labour the vision. Bill Shorten, in the estimation of a majority of Australia's voters, offered neither. His successor as leader of the Labour Party has both a need and an opportunity to think big. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.